You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new cutting-edge scientific technique has revealed New Zealand's largest gecko species. I spoke to Lockie Carsbrook last week about how they made this discovery, as well as some great scientific work done alongside our hapu iwi. I started by asking him to inform our listeners on this newly discovered gecko.
Yeah, so basically, we've known for a while that New Zealand has quite a huge lizard diversity, but there's one group that's been kind of understudied, and it's our largest lizard, the Hoplodactylus lizard. And they're found on the northeast coast of the North Island and within the Cook Strait. And previous researchers have found differences between them. There's some coloration differences in the South Island, as well as some size differences and things like that across the country. But with the arrival of rats and the deforestation and things like that, a lot of the populations of the mainland all went extinct throughout the North Island and South Island. So these intermediate populations in between were lost, so people just thought that they were all part of one big population. But we used these new ancient DNA techniques and actually found out that they are quite distinct. The populations on mainland North Island and South Island have been distinct for over 5 million years. And this corresponds to basically two different species based on the differences we see in the surviving individuals on the offshore islands. So then we set out to basically describe these differences and then publish the new name, Te Moko Moko Atohu.
So how did you discover this new lizard?
So this was using these ancient DNA techniques I was talking about. So a lot of deposits around the country contain little gecko fossil bones, and some of these contain DNA. And we came up with this cutting-edge technique of soaking DNA from these bones without actually destroying the bone itself. So this basically was like an enzyme bath that dissolved a little bit of the outside of the bone, and that released the DNA that we could then sequence and use that DNA to determine how different these populations were.
And it says here you have worked quite closely with the local iwi to decide how to name this lizard and how to go about it. Would you like to tell me about that work?
Yeah, so we approached Te Atiawa or Te Waka o Maui because they have mana whenua over the islands in the Cook Strait, and this is where those surviving populations exist, on Ngā Whātū Kaipono, which is the Brothers Island, and Kurupongi, which is the Trio's Island, and that's where the largest populations exist. And we approached them because we thought a lot of taxonomy is done by old white people, essentially, and there's been a little regard for cultural consideration in that process throughout history, and you're seeing a lot of this cropping up now with contentious names, things like there's an African human species called Homo rhodesiensis, named after Rhodes himself, who was a colonialist figure in South Africa. So you're seeing this pushback towards naming things after these figures, which I think is insanely good that we're doing that. And we really wanted to try and approach this from a perspective of including Māori in the naming process. So we approached Te Atiawa, and they gave us the name Tohu, after Tohu Kahaki, which was a tupuna or ancestor of their iwi, and he was one of the Parihaka prophets around Taranaki. And he was captured and then travelled by boat over the Cook Strait and then all the way down to Aotearoa, Dunedin. And the reason this is so special is because during that trip he would have passed the islands where these species are now remaining on, as well as the whole South Island distribution of this species during his capture and transport down to Dunedin. So it's really trying to immortalise the legacy of Tohu Kahaki in the name of this new species.
Your study has revealed that the previous biodiversity of lizards, skinks, geckos, all those kinds of creatures, used to be a lot higher, and a lot of them have gone extinct. Do you have any advice for our listeners on how to better protect our biodiversity?
Yeah, so unfortunately a lot of lizards now are really, really endangered. These ones being a great example, now only existing on those islands in the Cook Strait. And things like climate change, the continued risk of predator incursion, things like that always pose a risk to these populations. So I guess trapping, managing populations of rats and stoats is, I guess, one of the big things, because with those predators at that top level, they'll be taking out any populations that do exist on the mainland. But the other thing people can do at home is also get involved with their local, any sort of local conservation efforts to bring back the habitat that these geckos would have once had, even if it's just in your own backyard. Make a skink-friendly backyard by putting a rock stack or something like that in the back that these these guys can chill out in and get into the cracks and crevices and bask in the sun on a sunny day.
Can we expect to see more ancient gecko species and lizard species be discovered through this DNA technique?
Yeah, so this research has really paved the way to try and apply these things to, like I was saying before, all of those fossil remains that we find across the country. Because without knowing what we had, we really don't know what we have lost. So I think when we do start applying these things to the bones that exist in museum collections already, like you said, we will start to find these species that we didn't even know existed, or species existing in places that we had no idea would have ever occurred there. And we've got research planned at the moment to look into that, and these, because we've targeted the largest bones to start with, so you can move your way down in the size classes and go into these smaller individuals that might hold some more secrets like we found here.
That was Lockie Carsbrook speaking to me about his research into new ancient gecko species.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.